Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson. Today, I'm bringing you something a little bit different. Who knows about royalties and streaming and all that sort of stuff? Well, you're about to get a little bit of a lesson in it. I'm talking to Kyle Floyd. He's the founder and CEO of Vox Royalty Corporation, all the way over there from Denver, Colorado, to us here in Australia, one of the largest royalty companies looking at Australian mining. So that's why we thought it'd be a great chance for us to have a chat with Kyle, find out what he's doing over here in Australia. Kyle, great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Kerry, likewise. Terrific to be on the program and excited to tell everyone down under what we're doing in the royalty world, especially in Australia.
Well, first up, for those that don't know, and you're listed on the TSXV, the code, ladies and gentlemen, is VOX, really nice and easy, but it is a Toronto Stock Exchange, the Venture Exchange, so it's TSXV, code is VOX. So, Kyle, before we get into the nuts and bolts, give us the big picture, the overall of Vox, who you are.
So Vox Royalty Corp, what we do is we specialize in buying third-party royalties. So these are royalties held by typically the individual or the company that originally found the geological anomaly. And so what that means is we're not reliant on mining companies needing capital to fuel the growth of our business. We're able to find these third-party royalties, not in the hands of the actual operators of the mines. And the royalty interest typically entitles us to receive a percentage of the revenue, so the top line of that mining operation, revenue from that mine, and it's typically anywhere between 1% and 3%. And so we're able to very quickly build and scale and efficiently scale a business that is just exposed to the top line revenue, not the cost structure of mining operations. And so we believe that's the best way to play the commodity sector.
Is that what other royalty and streaming companies do as well, or are you a little bit different?
In some respects, we're a little bit different. Some royalty and streaming companies will actually finance mining companies in return for receiving a stream or a royalty on that project. But what you find is a lot of mining companies don't want to further encumber their assets with new royalties or streams. And so what we're buying, those already exist. Those are already factored into project economics. And we actually believe it's a really helpful component of the ecosystem, because at the end of the day, it's usually the geologist, this prospector, or the company that found the anomaly in the first instance that holds this royalty. And that really re-incentivizes them to go exploring and continuing to build the exploration base for other companies to come in the future, develop these operations. So it is a little bit different. It is a little bit of a nuance, but there are a lot of companies also out there, building their companies in the streaming and royalty sector.
There are, and that's why I wanted to drill down a little bit, because you are the second large, I believe, the second largest holder of Australian mining royalties. So give us an example of, and you know, this is an investor audience, give us an example of one of the royalty deals that you've done here in Australia and why that looks good for people that are investing in Vox.
Yeah, I can give a number of different examples. We have a couple of very interesting royalties. So one royalty was acquired over the Bowden Silver Project. Many of your viewers may be familiar with this project. It's the largest developing primary silver project in all of Australia. That company is doing a great job bringing that asset forward. It's in final permitting. We bought that royalty, and we bought it at a time that silver was at obviously a little bit lower price. And they were less developed in terms of some of the exploration success that they've generated now. Well, the really good news about our position with that royalty is we don't have to contribute. We're not on the hook for any of that future capital that's going to be needed to bring that project into production one day, or on the hook for the drilling with that project either. So we root very hard for them. We're excited by their success, but we're not a participant in those financings, and we're not diluted. So we get the revenue interest and we get the upside without sharing in the costs associated with realizing the overall opportunity and the benefits of that asset. Another interesting royalty that we have.
Hang on, Kyle. Hang on. I'm going to stop you for a second. I'm going in my head and thinking, hang on a second. if you're not involved in any of the financing and you're not putting any of the money up, why is the company doing it? Sorry, call me dumb. I'm not quite there yet in how this works. Do you know what I mean? So bring it back down to base level for me. I'm a smart kid, but I'm just going, oh, why would they do this?
So base level is, remember, we didn't buy the royalty from the mining company. There was another group that held this project a long time ago that held this royalty, and that's who we bought the royalty from. So for them, it was an opportunity to bring cash forward and realize some liquidity on what is otherwise a pretty esoteric and illiquid asset. So they sold us the royalty, and the royalty that they held now entitles us to, in this case, 0.85% of the overriding revenue that this project generates.
Okay, so you're not dealing directly with the mining companies, you're dealing with maybe a prospector or a landholder or the sort of right back in day one. How do you find these particular opportunities?
Exactly. So one of the ways that we find these opportunities is we're always scanning the world for interesting developments over mining assets with a particular focus on Australia and even more particular focus on Western Australia. But we have the world's largest proprietary database of royalty information. So we are able to understand where the royalties are, what projects they exist over, typically who also owns those royalties. And so it gives us the ability to really take a big data approach to finding royalty opportunities. And from there, engaging with the owners of these royalties, which, like you said, is sometimes the prospectors, the geologists, or the original mining company that owns this exploration success.
Okay, so it could be an original mining company. So let's take an example. You mentioned Bowdens, which is silver mines, ASX code SVL. You've got that royalty. Do you work with silver mines on the project at all, or are you sitting quietly in the background, no real involvement?
No involvement. Obviously, rooting hard for the success of that project. I think the team's doing a fantastic job there. It's one of the reasons why we bought the royalty, is we also have to have faith in the direction of the business and management at the end of the day. But no money changed hands between us and Silver Mines. That was just between us and a third party. And we are, not in a position where we have to contribute any of the financing that keeps that company obviously achieving the growth that it is for their shareholders.
Yeah, but you keep an eye on how they're going, and I guess you talk to management about what they're doing, et cetera, to make sure that as an investment going forward, it's good for your investors.
Yes, but there's the nuance with as a third-party royalty company, we are looking at the public data. So Silver Mines is, not under any obligation to give us any more information than they give the public, other than royalty statements and those kinds of nuances. But at the end of the day, we sit back and, really we become very, very engaged, a very engaged interest in the project, but we are not the ones operating the mine.
It's interesting because you founded this company, and when did you found it? How long have you been going? Talk to us about the growth, because I'm all about the numbers and the growth and where you see it going and how much further you see for the growth for Vox.
Yeah, so Vox Royalty Corp, I started working on this business in 2012, formally incorporated and founded in 2014. And it was a business created to solve a problem which really emanates out of the US, which there's a large generalist investor group that wants commodity exposure, but they haven't been investing in the space for very long. They're not mining engineers and they're not geologists. So they're really reticent to invest in the commodity sector. They're much more fascinated by tech and media and telecom and everything else in the US. But there is a sincere interest and desire and a value to investing in commodities that is appreciated in the US, but looking for that outlet to do so. And so this business was created to have mining engineers and geologists at the front lines of our business, selecting great assets with great royalties over them. And then offering also that diversification of, we have 55 royalties and streams. We've been the fastest growing royalty company in the industry over the last 3 years. And we're also the fastest growing royalty company in terms of organic growth, in terms of number producing assets. So we went public in just May of last year, even though we had been private for six years before that. And we went public with one producing asset. We now have five producing assets. We expect that to be 10 producing assets as we exit 2023. And that's some of the fastest growth that the industry's ever seen in that capacity for a royalty company.
What do you you put that down to, Kyle? If you know, you're the fastest growing company, there are others like Franco-Nevada and Wheaton Precious Metals, I think, is another one. What do you put your growth down to?
No, our growth really comes down to knowing what we're good at. And with three Australians on our business development team and very significant background in the Australian landscape for mining opportunities, I think we had an appreciation for Western Australia as what we believe is the best mining jurisdiction in the world. There's great mineral endowments, and we had really an intellectual property advantage in terms of knowing who held royalties and who we might be able to transact with. So a lot of that comes down to the team and our team's expertise, and also the intellectual property advantage that we have.
Yeah, I'm finding it fascinating. Here I am talking to somebody in Denver, Colorado, who loves Western Australia and is backing and finding those royalty opportunities down here. Are you looking to become a little bit wider within Australia? I mean, here in Australia, everything is mined or grown, and we have a big resources sector, but it's not just all in WA, Kyle. We've got some on the East Coast as well. Are you looking to grow outside of WA? Well, I guess you've got Bowman, which is in New South Wales.
Exactly. And we do have some in South Australia. So we're not exclusive to Western Australia. I do think it is within Australia, it's the best mining jurisdiction. I think it's the best mining jurisdiction on the planet for a number of different reasons. First off, quality of mineral endowments is fantastic. Quality of people is second to none. And you have a legislative framework that really works well with the mining companies and allows them to achieve success and appreciates what the mining industry does, not just for the Australian economy, but really the global economy. So I think all those factors combine to make it really the best mining jurisdiction that you can find today. And so having royalties in that environment is a tremendous opportunity for our investors. It's also really been a very buoyant equity market, which means all of our exploration assets that we have royalties over have been well funded, well capitalized, well incentivized to move those projects forward. And we really benefit from that, not just in the de-risking that happens as more drilling is done, more development work is done, but also in the growth. We have over 165,000 meters being drilled annually on all of our projects right now, and that continues to build. So, and a lot of that focus is Western Australia, which is just one of the most productive mining climates.
Whenever I think royalty streaming businesses, because it's a different way of investing and it can be very lucrative. When I think about it, and I'm a gold nerd, I always think, of precious metals. But you're also looking at iron ore and other commodities, aren't you?
We do, but we're precious metals focused. What happens is we occasionally find really interesting royalties and really interesting hands. So we have producing iron ore royalty over part of the Kooyanobbing operations. We bought that royalty from a telecommunications company.
Oh, wow.
So what we do is we look for interesting assets that have great royalties. It tends to be precious metal focused, both by design, but it's organic in that there's just more precious metals mineral tenure out there that has royalties over it. So it's an organic quest to find great royalties. And a lot of that tends to be precious metals. And that's where our investors want us to be. They want that risk hedge that precious metals can offer.
Now, we've talked a lot about Australia. You've got three Aussies, good on you, three Aussies on the development board. Are they based over in the US or are they here in Australia?
So we have one in Toronto, one in the Cayman Islands, and one in Perth. And so it's a global team with a global footprint, but we certainly are steeped in Australian gold opportunities.
Be careful, Kyle. You might start talking like an Aussie one day soon.
Every now and then.
Let's talk numbers. You said that you listed on the TSXV under the code VOX in May of last year. You started the business in 2012. Listed in 20. What was the reason behind the listing? How are you going? What are the numbers looking like, Kyle?
Yeah, so as we talked about, we've been the fastest growing company in the industry over the last 3 years. We are the second largest holder of hard rock mining royalties in Australia. And that growth is really attributable to what we've been building for a very long time, which was the competitive advantages that allow us to find royalties and transact on royalties. So the database, buying a database from a company called Mineral Royalties Online, that had 7,000 proprietary royalties in at the time. We're now over 8,000 with reinvestment into that database. So that's led to a lot of the growth. Why we went public: lower cost of capital that would allow us to acquire more royalties, which we've been able to do. And also, there's a lot of royalty sellers that are not quite ready to give up the entire exposure to that opportunity. And so when we're publicly traded, we're able to issue stock for the purchase of some of these royalties. And therefore, the royalty owner gets to have some continued interest in the upside of that opportunity, but the option for liquidity as well. And so that was a really, you know, significant value add that we could offer to the royalty holder, royalty owners out there around the world, was Vox stock in a fast growing business and allowing them to maintain some of that upside.
Since listing, has that made a difference? The fact, what you just spoke about, the fact that, you know, you can go with different ways of buying that royalty, and by saying, look, you can have some Vox share stock as well. Has that made it a bit easier to do the transaction?
It's made a huge difference. When we were private, and look, I don't blame anyone for not wanting to take, you know, equity in a private business. There's a lot of reciprocal due diligence that needs to be done. It's a much different situation for someone to want to sell their royalty into. And so us being public, and obviously the benefits of that with transparency and understanding and liquidity being probably the biggest, that's had a huge, that's been a big benefit to our business and allowed us to transact on some great royalties with some great people.
Well, Carl, I think it's fascinating what you're doing. Anyone else doing what you're doing in Australia right now? I think Franco-Nevada have some exposure down here, but possibly not as much as you're doing at the moment.
No one is as nearly as concentrated as we are. Don't get me wrong, other companies have acquired royalties in Australia, but not to the not at the significance that we have, and not with the focus that we have either. So we are, by weighting, 37 of our 55 royalties and streams are based in Australia, so far exceed anybody else in that category by a pretty significant margin.
If you had somebody who was not an investor that maybe had a royalty, what would you say to them if they were watching right now? Go talk to them. Show me your royalty.
I will give you my email address. We are very interested in buying royalties. We've completed more royalty acquisitions than anybody else in the world over the last 3 years. We're very efficient. We're very straightforward. We're very candid and transparent in how we acquire royalties. And obviously also understanding the value around those royalties and coming to a decision where someone can decide whether they want to sell that asset at the end of the day. So I think we have a sterling track record in terms of dealing with counterparties that would like to bring some of that liquidity forward and realize on that investment. So if anybody is out there that interested, that holds royalties, we are always eager to have those conversations and see if we can be of value and assistance in that process.
All right. Well, it's a big investor audience out there and we're running out of time. So it's my sign off. Carl, what I want to know is there's lots of investors watching. Three reasons why investors should be putting their hard-earned cash into Vox Royalty on the TSXV.
Absolutely, Carrie. Number one, growth. Best growth in the industry. Number two, tremendous diversification. And number three, fantastic value, where we trade at relative to our peers. I believe we present the best value in the industry as well.
Nicely put, not too wordy, love it. Carl Floyd, CEO and founder of Vox Royalty. They only listed a year ago, ladies and gentlemen. Tremendous growth year on year, only really just getting started if you look at their track record, and very much interested in Australia, which is why I decided to have Carl on the program today. Hope you enjoyed the interview. Carl Floyd, thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Carrie, thanks for having us. It's been an absolute pleasure.